Let us enjoy breathing with the sound of the bell. Breathing in, I feel alive. Breathing out, I smile to life. The bell master this morning is Sister Han Nghiêm. She is American. She is a Dharma teacher. She has practiced in Plum Village for a long time. Han means action. Nghiêm means adornment. Adornment with action. That's her name. Breathing in, I feel alive. Breathing out, I smile to life. September the 9th in the year 2010, and we are in our retreat with the team Peaceful Mind, Open Heart. I'd like to introduce to you a number of young monks and nuns who have come with me in order to help with the retreat. These monks and nuns, they begin to practice as a monastic when they were very young. 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old, and they, after about 10 years of practice, all have become, and I want you to see them and have an opportunity to talk with them and ask them how is the life of a monk, whether they enjoy the practice of Buddhism as a monk or as a nun. I'd like to ask Sister Mak Nghiêm to come, Sister Đàng Nghiêm, Sister Kính Nghiêm, Brother Phát Chiếu. Who else? Ai nữa? Pháp Hữu. I hope that to meet with these young monks and nuns and ask them many questions about their life as a monk or as a nun. Hữu means friend, Dharma friend, Pháp Hữu, Dharma friend. And he began at the age of 12. He came to Plum Village when he was 6 or 7 years old, and he liked it. So he asked the permission to become a novice monk. He said, "No, you are too young." So he had to wait for many years before he was accepted as a novice monk, practicing very well. And he has receive the land transmission to become a Dharma teacher. He's a very happy monk, young monk. Talk to him today or tomorrow or after tomorrow, and he'll tell you many things concerning the life of a monk. He speaks English very well. Kính nghiêm, kính means reverence. She began at the age of 13, and she has stayed in Plum Village for a long time. How many years? 14 years. She's an excellent Dharma teacher now. She helped organize retreats in many countries. She was born in America, in the city of San Diego. And she came to a retreat we organized in South California, and she liked it. You'll have a chance to talk to her. Next to her is Mang Nghiêm. Mang means compassion, kindness. She also began at a very early age. She has been practicing very well as a nun. Thầy, myself, had written a book for the young people. The title of the book is Speaking to the People of 20 Year Old. That is a book Thầy wrote in 1964 for the young people, addressing the 20-year-old people. The book sold very well in Vietnam because so many young people read the book. And when to the age of 20, she also tried to write a book. And the title of her book is Speaking to the 80-year-old people. Because at that time, Thầy was 80. So she wrote with her hand a book of about 300 pages, and the title of the book is Speaking to the Person Who Has Who Is 80 Years Old. And only one copy was published, and she gave it to Thầy as a gift. Thầy still keep that book with him. Sister Da Nghiêm also she belonged to the group of baby nuns, baby monks. And during the time of their training, they have developed a deep brotherhood, sisterhood among themselves. And they always work together in order to help organize retreats and so on. Where is Pháp Chiếu? We have other young monks and nuns, but they are not here. And I'm very happy to have them with me. Living and practicing together, and every time I go to a country in order to organize a retreat, I'm bring with me in order to help teach the young people. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I remember 3 years ago when we went to Italy for a retreat. The retreat in Italy was a big retreat. We go to Italy every 2 years and offer a retreat. And about 900 to 1,000 people, Italian people, come for a retreat, a little bit larger than this retreat. And there were about 80 children, Italian, and they practice very well also. Many of them are not Buddhist. But it is possible for non-Buddhists to come and practice with the Buddhists. In our retreats, there are Buddhists, of course, but there are Christians, Jews, Muslims. And we practice in harmony. And with the practice, a Christian become a better Christian. A Muslim become a better Muslim. A Buddhist become a better Buddhist. A Jew become a better Jew also. So there is no discrimination at all. Our retreat, I was an attend. I remember that year when I talked to the Italian children. I offer each of them a grain of corn. The day before, I went to the grocery store and I bought a bag of corn. You can make a popcorn out of that, out of it. But Thay did not make popcorn. Thay brought the bag of corn to the retreat and Thay offered to everyone a seed of corn. And this is the kind of homework they want them to do. Everyone, including the grown-up people, receive a home, supposed to plant the seed of corn in a small pot. And they have to water every day a little bit so that the seed of corn might sprout. Now this is a kind of a homework for children and adults alike. After 10 days or so, the seed of corn become a plant of corn, a young plant of corn. And you should come and talk to the young plant of corn. By that time, the seed of corn has transformed herself into a heaven. And you should come to visit the young plant of corn and you ask a question. And this is the question. My dear young plant of corn, do you remember the time you were a tiny seed of corn? Do you remember the time you were a tiny seed of corn? And after asking the question, you listen. The plant of corn may not speak the human language. It may not speak Chinese or Italian or English, but they have their way of speaking. And if you are attentive enough to what the plant of corn to say, and if you listen very carefully, you can hear the answer of the plant of corn. Usually the plant of corn will say something like this: me, a little grain, I don't believe it. It seems that the plant of corn has forgotten that at one time she was a seed of corn. And when the plan of God tell you that she does not believe that she had been before a seat of God, and you will tell her, you tell her like this: listen, I am the one who from time I myself has planted the seed of God in this spot. I know very well. I am sure that you have come from a seed of God. And if you know how to speak to the plan of God, she will understand and she will accept the truth. Otherwise, she would not believe that she had been a seed of God. If you are a practitioner of meditation, you can see many things that other people cannot see. Suppose you look at the plant of corn and you can see the seed of corn in it. You know that the seed of corn has not died, has died. There will be no plant of corn. The plant of corn is alive. It means that the seed of corn is still alive. And with the eyes of a practitioner, you can see the seed of corn in the plant of corn. Not in the form of a seed, but the seed of corn is always alive in the plant of corn. You don't practically see the seed of corn, but the seed of corn is there in the plant of corn. And you conclude that the plant of corn is the continuation of the seed of corn. You may have an album. You may still keep your picture when you were a tiny baby. Go back, go home, and look at yourself as a baby. Your picture as a baby is still there. And when you look at your picture as a baby, you'll be surprised. Are you the same person with that little baby? You are so different now. You are 7, you are 8, you are 10 now. You are so different from the tiny baby. And yet, you are the continuation of that baby. That baby is still in you. It's not died. If that baby has died, there cannot be you now. That is why you know that you are the continuation of that baby. The same thing is true with the seed of corn. You don't see the seed of corn, but the seed of corn has not died. The seed of corn is always alive in the plant of corn. And if you look deeply at the plant of corn, you can still see the seed of corn. This is a little bit difficult, but everyone can do it. When you look at the plant of corn, you can see the seed of corn from which the plant of corn has come. Dear friends, you might forget, you might have been as a boy, as a girl, you had been also a tiny seed. The day your mother conceived you, you were a very tiny seed in the womb of your mother. The day of conception, the day when your mother was pregnant, you were there in the matrix, in the womb of your mother. And do you know something? You are even smaller than a grain of corn. much smaller. And you have within the womb of your mother nine months or more. It's very comfortable in there. It's not too warm. It's not too cold. It's very comfortable. And your mother breathes for you, eat for you, drink for you. You did not have to worry about anything. And you have stayed 9 months or so in the womb of your mother. You continue to grow. And when you are big enough, 4 kilograms, 5 kilograms, you begin to ask the permission to go out. But a seed. And that seed is very small, and half of it is from your father, and half of it is from your mother. You might have forgotten that, but in the beginning, you were a very tiny seed. And you continue to grow in the womb of your mother. As Thay Hai said, practitioners of meditation can see many things that other people cannot see. And that is why it's very good to learn Buddhist meditation. Every time I hear the bell, I enjoy breathing in and out 3 times. I feel very peaceful. So when you look deeply into the plant of corn, you can see the seed of corn. You know that the seed of corn is still alive, and that young plant of corn is the continuation of the seed of corn. And when you look at yourself as a boy or as a girl, you see that usually we believe that our mother and our father are outside of us. Many people think that their father is only outside of them. Their mother is only outside of them. But for a Buddhist practitioner, the father and the mother are at the same time inside of us. In fact, we are the continuation of our father and our mother. We are the continuation of that seed given by our father and our mother. And that is why when I practice mindful breathing, I see my father and my mother inside of me, in every cell of my body. Very clearly that my father and my mother are fully present in every cell of my body. And sometimes during sitting meditation, I invite my father and my mother to breathe in and out with me. Dear Father, please breathe in with me. I enjoy breathing in. Father and son, enjoy breathing in. Father and son, enjoy breathing out. It's very nice to ask your father to breathe in and to breathe out with you. Mother, I know that you are inside of me. I invite you to enjoy breathing in with me. I invite you to enjoy breathing out. Breathing in together. Wonderful. Mother and daughter, breathing out together. That's wonderful. And that is why I always feel that my father and my mother are inside of me, because I know I am a continuation of my father and my mother. When I smile, my father in me and my mother in me smile at the same time. When I practice walking meditation, walking in peace, and enjoy every step I make, my father and my mother also enjoy every step with me, with peace and joy. So I do not practice only for myself. I practice for my father and my mother in me, and not all grandmother, my grandfather, and the ancestors, they are all in me. So the practice benefits not only myself, but my parents and my ancestors. This is a very deep teaching of the Buddha. Everything is in everything else. Don't think that your father and your mother are only outside of you. They are inside of you also. And since you are a continuation of your parents, when you get angry at your father, you get angry at yourself. When you get angry at your mother, you get angry at yourself, because you are father, continuation of your mother. When you hear the small bell, you may like to stand up and bow to the Sangha before you go out and continue your learning and practice outside. The young people only. Have a good day. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the practice. Yesterday we listened to we have learned a little bit about mindful breathing, and we know that when we pay attention to our in breath and out breath, we abandon the past and the future and go back to the present moment. The first exercise of mindful breathing offered by the Buddha is breathing in. I know this is my in-breath. Breathing out, I know this is my out-breath. And the effect of the practice can be very deep. In, out. And that is to identify the in-breath as the in-breath and the out-breath as the out-breath. You don't have to do much. It's, you are breathing in. It's very easy. You have to identify the in-breath as the in-breath. It's like, you know, Mr. X is Mr. X. Mr. Philip is Mr. Philip. Mr. Paul is Mr. Paul. To identify something. So when you breathe in, you know that this is your in-breath. It means that when you breathe in, you don't say, this is my out breath, because that's wrong. When you breathe in, you have to say, this is my in breath. And when you breathe out, you say, I know this is my out breath. So you focus breath, that this is this really is your in breath. And that is why we can call the first exercise the exercise to identify the in-breath as in-breath and the out-breath as the out-breath. Mindfulness of breathing, that is our practice. Mindfulness is a kind of energy that helps us to know what is going on. And mindfulness is always mindfulness of something. When you drink your tea mindfully, you know that you are drinking your tea. And that is called mindfulness of drinking. When you walk, and if you know that you are walking, that is mindfulness of walking. Mindfulness of drinking, mindfulness of walking. And when you eat, and if you eat mindfully, it's called mindfulness of eating. And here, it is mindfulness of breathing. Remember, mindfulness is always mindfulness of something. And we are learning about mindfulness of breathing. The word mindfulness written in Chinese is composed by the apop, the present moment. And the lower part means your mind. Mindfulness is to bring your mind back to the present moment. And the Sanskrit word is smriti. So when you bring your mind back to the present moment, you know what is going on. And what is going on now is I am breathing in. And I know I am breathing in. Mindfulness, awareness, attention. And when you focus your attention on your in-breath, then I... Suppose you are thinking of the past. You feel some kind of regret and sorrow concerning the past. You are caught by the past. You are caught by your sorrow. You are caught by your regret. Or when you think of the future, you may feel some anxiety, some uncertainty, some fear about future. You are caught in the anxiety. You are caught in the fear. You are caught in the anxiety. You are not free. But when you focus on your in-breath, the in-breath of your mind, you release the past with the sorrow and the regret, you release the future with the uncertainty and the fear, and you become free. And that is why focus your attention on your in-breath and out-breath. You set yourself free. Freedom is the outcome of the practice. And you don't need a lot of time. You need only a few seconds in order to get free from the past and the future. Mindful breathing set you free. And that can be done by any one of us. Even the children, they can do it. When they focus their attention on their in-breath and out-breath, they come home to the present moment. and they enjoy what is there. It's presented by the Buddha, although a very simple exercise, but it has a very great effect. And that is the exercise called the identification of your in-breath and out-breath. The second exercise is somehow the continuation of the first one. And if you practice the second exercise, the quality of your breathing will be increased. When you practice mindful breathing to identify your in-breath, do it. And the practice becomes pleasant. And it can bring peace and joy to yourself. You don't have to force yourself to breathe in and to breathe out. You don't have to make any effort at all. You don't have to strive. This is not hard labor. You allow yourself to breathe normally, in and out. You just pay attention to your in-breath and your out-breath. You don't interfere with your in-breath and out-breath. You allow yourself to breathe in and to breathe out naturally. If your in-breath is short, allow it to be short. If your in-breath is long, allow it to be long. Allow it to be itself. Just pay attention to it. It's like the sunshine. The sunshine does not try to intervene with the flower. The sunshine just shines on the flower. And yet the sunshine will have a good effect on the flower. Mindfulness will have an effect on your state of being. When you breathe in, allow yourself to breathe in naturally. Don't try to make any effort of breathing in. You are breathing in anyway. You don't have to make any effort in order to breathe in. So allow yourself to be breathing in and out naturally. Just pay attention to it. And you can smile during breathing in and breathing out. I enjoy breathing out. I feel alive. The second exercise is to improve the quality of your breathing. And we can call it the exercise of follow your breath. Suppose this marker represents your in-breath. It begins here. It continues for 3, 4, 5 seconds, and it will end here. And suppose this finger is your mind. And the practice is like this. Breathing in, I follow my in-breath all the way through. Breathing out, I follow my out-breath all the way through. No interruption. In the 4 or 5 seconds of fully, and your concentration is stronger. Your mindfulness is stronger, and your concentration is stronger. And when your mindfulness and concentration is stronger, you feel it more pleasant to breathe in and breathe out. The joy, the pleasant feeling will be increased. Breathing in, I follow my in-breath all the way through. Breathing out, I follow my out-breath all the way through. So the quality of your mindfulness is improved. And your happiness, your joy, your peace will be improved at the same time. And you don't have to make any effort at all. A good practitioner always enjoy her breathing in, her breathing out, and follow her in-breath and her out-breath without interruption. Suppose half the way there is interruption. Breathing in, I forget to to turn off the light before I get out of my room. It means that you are not fully focused on your in-breath. There is interruption. Don't do that. While you breathe in, just focus your attention on your in-breath and follow it through. And that is the second exercise recommended by the Buddha. It is possible to enjoy your in-breath and your out-breath without making any effort. And when you focus your attention on your in-breath, you abandon the past, you abandon the future, you stop thinking, you stop planning, and relaxation and peace become possible. Whether you are in a sitting position, or in a lying position, or in walking meditation, you feel relaxed because you have stopped all planning, you have stopped all thinking. It allows your body and your mind to rest. And you have a chance to get in touch with all the wonders of life that are inside of you and around you. And this is a very healing. This is very nourishing. That pushes you to run, to look for something, to search for something. We have been running all our life, looking for something, searching for something, hoping for something. And that has become a habit. We are not capable of being happy in the present moment. Most of us believe that it is not possible to be happy now with more conditions of happiness. We don't believe that happiness is possible in the here and the now. And that kind of belief, that kind of energy, that kind of habit of running may have been transmitted to us by our parents and ancestors. The Buddha said that when you are able to stop running to the future, you have an opportunity to get in touch with many conditions of happiness that are already available in the here and the now, and in here and the now. That teaching of the Buddha has been ignored by many Buddhists. You know, at the time of the Buddha, there was a rich businessman called Anathapindika. Kapkodok. He's a very rich businessman. He offered the Buddha a beautiful park for the Buddha to make a practice center for his monks in the city of Shravasti. Anathasada. And his family is a Buddhist family, and they practice the teaching of Buddha very well. One day, Anathapindika came to the Buddha with many hundreds of businessmen. He had many friends in the business circle. They came to the to the practice center of the Buddha in Shravasti, and first they met with the Venerable Shariputra, and after that showed them to the Buddha, and the group of businessmen received from Buddha a very wonderful Dharma talk. That Dharma talk is available in the Plum Village Shandin book. The Buddha knew that businessmen think too much about the future, about the success, their success. And that is why that day he taught about the practice of dwelling happily in the present moment. The Buddha said, "Gentlemen, it is possible for you to live happily in the present moment. Don't think that only the success in the future can make you happy. You have as that are available in the here and the now. If you know how to go home to the present moment, you recognize that you have so many conditions to be happy right here and right now." And in that discourse, the Buddha used the expression "living happily in the present moment" 5 times. The Sanskrit expression is "drista dharma sukha vihara." It means living happily in the present moment. And in Chinese, sukha vihara means to dwell, to live happily. And Hien Pháp means the present moment, what happens in the present moment. Drista Dharma is the present moment. The teaching is that if you are able to go home to the present moment, you recognize that there are so many conditions of happiness available already. You don't need to run into the future to look for more conditions of happiness. There are conditions of happiness inside and around you. And this is to help us to stop running, because we might have been running all our life. And that is why we sacrifice the present moment for the future. And in that discourse given by the Buddha that morning, he used 5 times the expression "drista dharma sukha vihara." And many Buddhists ignore the teaching of the Buddha. In fact, this is the most basic teaching of the Buddha, that the past is already gone. The fear that there is only one moment for you to be truly alive, that is the present moment. And you have to go back home to the present moment and to live that moment very deeply. And it is possible for you to live it, that moment happily, because conditions of happiness are more than enough for you in that moment. Suppose someone come and ask you, dear friend, do you think that the most wonderful moment of your life has arrived or not? What you will tell him or her? The most wonderful moment or not? And you may like to, you may answer like this. It does not seem that the most wonderful moment of my life has arrived, but it should arrive soon. We may say like that. Hopefully that it will arrive soon. But the fact is that if you continue to live exactly like you have lived 20 years in the last 20 years, that moment will not happen in the next 20 years. So the teaching of the Buddha is clear. How to make this present moment into the most wonderful moment of your life? That is a challenge. And not money, fame, power can bring that most wonderful moment of your life to you now. Because around us there are very powerful people, very wealthy people, and yet they suffer very deeply. So the practice, your practice, has the capacity to make the present moment the most wonderful moment of your life. This moment and next moment. And this is possible with the teaching and the practice of the Buddha. How to make the present moment into the most wonderful moment of your life. With how? With this concentration, it is possible to make this moment into the most wonderful moment of your life. When you practice the second exercise of mindful breathing, you follow your in-breath all the way through. And that can be done with great pleasure. You can savor your in-breath. You can enjoy breathing in. You can enjoy breathing out. And your in-breath will be able to generate the energy of mindfulness, the energy inside. A good practitioner is always capable of generating these three kinds of energy. And it is exactly these three kinds of energies that can produce happiness. The first energy is mindfulness. The second energy is concentration. And your in-breath can generate mindfulness and concentration. And mindfulness and concentration, when they are powerful, they can produce the third kind of energy. It's called insight. Smriti, Samadhi, Prajna. And one in-breath can produce, and it does not take a long time. Mindfulness, concentration, and insight can be obtained in 3 seconds. What kind of insight we are talking about now? There are many kinds of insight. When there is mindfulness and concentration, there is always some insight, and insight after insight. Suppose you are breathing in mindfully. And when you breathe in mindfully, you might touch the fact that you are alive. Breathing in, I feel alive. Because if you are already dead, you cannot breathe in. As you are breathing in, you know that you are alive. And to be alive is the most wonderful thing in the world. To be alive is a miracle. The greatest of all miracles, to be still alive. A person who is already dead cannot breathe in anymore. She cannot stand up and make another step. It's too late. But you are alive. So when you breathe in, you touch the inside that you are alive. To know that you are alive is already. Please don't think that if the insight, prajna, you have to practice 10 years or 20 years in order to get it. No. You can begin by breathing in, and you already can get some insight. Suppose you practice this exercise, breathing in, I'm aware of my eyes. And while breathing in, I focus my attention on my in-breath, also on my eyes. I touch one of the conditions of happiness. I get the insight that my eyes are still in good conditions. It's wonderful to have eyes still in good conditions. If we are blind, we don't have that condition of happiness. There is a paradise of forms and colors around us. And that paradise of forms and colors is available because I still have eyes in good conditions. So when you practice mindfulness of eyes, breathing in, I'm aware of my eyes. Your eyes now has become the object of your mindfulness. And when you touch your eyes, your eyes are still in good conditions. Sitting on the grass, you need only to open your eyes in order to enter the paradise of forms and colors. And those who have lost their eyesight, that paradise is not available anymore. And their deepest wish is to recover their eyesight in order for the paradise to be available to them again. And that is why mindfulness of breathing helps you to be aware of your eyes, and you get the insight that your eyes are good, are in good hands, and happiness just comes very naturally. So the practice of mindful breathing, breathing in, bring the energy of mindfulness, bring the energy of concentration, and bring the energy of insight and happiness, and is the result of the practice. Suppose you practice breathing in, breathing out, and become aware of your heart. Breathing in, I'm aware of my heart. Breathing out, I smile to my heart. It sounds simple, but it can be very deep practice. The insight I get in my heart is still functioning normally. It's wonderful to have a heart that still functions normally. There are those of us who don't have such a heart. They are subjected to a stroke, a heart attack at any time. And what they want the most is to have a heart like ours. Their deepest desire is to have a normal heart like we do. So this exercise helps you to get in touch with another condition of happiness that you have in yourself. Breathing in, I'm a heart. Breathing out happily to my heart, because my heart still functions normally. It's very comfortable to know that you have a normal heart. Your heart works hard day and night in order to preserve your well-being. You have 5, 6, 7 hours to sleep every night, but your heart functions non-stop. It has to irrigate, pump the blood, irrigate all the cells day and night. And when you go back to your heart and embrace your heart with mindfulness, you feel compassion because you have not treated your heart right. You have smoked. You have drunk wine, alcohol. You have worried too much. You have stayed up late several times each night. You have given your heart a lot of hardship. The way you eat, the way you work, the way you drink, the way you worry is not friendly to your heart. And when you come back to your heart, breathing in and out mindfully, become aware of your heart, understanding and compassion arise in you. And you tell yourself, from now on, you will treat your heart more. It's one of the conditions of your happiness, and you have not cherished that condition enough. The Buddha has given a discourse called the contemplation of the body. And they suggest that we practice an exercise of total relaxation to help our body. Many exercises are given by the Buddha in that discourse, including the exercise to allow your body to relax. He spoke about a farmer who goes up to the cellar and bring down a bag of seeds. And he opened one end of the bag and allow all the seeds in the bag to flow on the floor. And with eyes still in good conditions, the kidney bean seeds is the seeds of corn, and so on. With eyes still in good conditions, he can distinguish all kinds of seeds that flow from the back on the floor. So the practitioner does exactly the same thing. In a sitting position or lying position, she begins to examine from the top, from the hair on the head until the heel, passing in review all part of the body. When you come to the eye, you practice breathing in, I am aware of my eyes. Breathing out, I smile to my eyes. When you go to your lungs, you say breathing air of my lungs, I smile to my lungs. When you come to your liver, you say breathing in, I am aware of my liver. Breathing out, I smile to my liver. The practice is to use mindfulness in order to recognize every part of your body and smile to it, send the energy of love and compassion to every part of your body. Suppose you have come to your liver. Breathing in, I'm aware of my liver. Breathing out, I smile to my liver. You might get some insight. Your liver may like to tell you something. Your liver might be suffering. You have drunk so much alcohol, and for the time being, your liver suffers, and it has to communicate with you, but because you are so busy, you don't have the time to listen to your body. You don't have the time to listen to your liver. And now, maybe the first time you go to visit your liver with the exercise, breathing in, I'm aware of my liver. Breathing out, I smile to my liver. My dear liver, how are you? Are you okay? And your liver will tell you. She has been sending you a message, SOS, SOS. You have drunk so much alcohol, you have eaten so much fat, and she wants you to stop, but you don't listen to her. So now it's time for you to listen to your liver. And if you understand the situation of your liver, and compassion will arise, and you make the vow to stop drinking alcohol, to stop eating a lot of fat, in order to help your liver to suffer less. So the Buddha advised us in a lying position to visit all parts of our body from the top to the bottom and send our energy of compassion to every part of our body. It's like a scanning our body. In the hospital, they have scanner. They use part of computation in order to scan your body to know what is going on. In this exercise presented by the Buddha, we also scan our body, but not X-ray, but with the ray of mindfulness. And you visit your whole body, and you become aware of each part of your body You embrace each part of your body with compassion, understanding. And if you come to a part of the body that is ailing, you should stay longer. You should practice mindful breathing and embrace tenderly that part of your body and allow it a chance to heal. Of course, you need some medicine. Meditation can help greatly if you know how to relax, if you know how to embrace that ailing part of your body with compassion. It will help the healing to take place much more quickly. So don't count on the medicine alone. The practice of meditation can help very much with the healing. It allows your body to rest and to heal more quickly. What Thầy is trying to say today is that the practice of mindful breathing in, mindful breathing out, can already generate three sources of energy: mindfulness, concentration, and insight. And in the teaching of the Buddha, these are source of energies that can offer you healing, nourishment, and happiness. And every practitioner should be able to generate these three sources of energy. And we can always practice driving your car mindfully, cooking your dinner mindfully, when you the third exercise of mindful breathing is to be aware of your body. Breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. This is to bring your mind back to your body. In our daily life, very often our body is there, but our mind is elsewhere. And we are in a state of dispersion. We are not home in order to take care of our body. We may have worked our body too hard. And that is why it's very important to bring our mind back to the body in order to take care of our body. And that is why the third exercise proposed by the Buddha is the awareness of the body, the reunion of body and mind. When your mind is with your body, and this is a very important exercise. And when you are back to your body, you might get insight that there is a lot of tension and stress and maybe pain now in your body. You might have allowed tension, stress, and pain to be accumulated into your body. And if you don't know that, in the future, there will be many kind of disease that will happen to you. And that is why being aware of the tension, of the stress, of the pressure in the body, you should that pain. And that is why the Buddha proposed a fourth exercise. To release tension. In body. This is it means to stop, to relax, to release. Meditation is first of all the act of stopping, releasing, and calming. Then first of all, we have to learn how to calm our body, to release the tension in our body. After we have been able to release the tension in the body, we'll be able now for emotions. But first of all, we have to learn how to release the tension in the body. Today or tomorrow, Sister True Emptiness will offer you a session of total relaxation. And you might like to learn that. So after the retreat, you can organize sessions of deep total relaxation at home with your family. It's very important to survive this difficult time when everyone feels stressful and a lot of tension within the body and the mind. The Sanskrit word samatha, it means stopping, resting, releasing, and calming. And that is part of the practice of meditation. Breathing in, I allow my body to release the tension. Breathing out, I allow my body to release all tension. In a sitting position or lying position, you allow the tension to go. This is very important. If you know how to do it with your body, you know how to do it with your mind. The tension in our body, and then you can reduce also the amount of pain in your body, including chronic pain. Because the more you are tense, the more intense is the pain in your body. That is why to learn to release the tension, you can reduce the pain in your body. This is very important. And this is the first four exercises of mindful breathing that the Buddha proposed to us. The next four exercises dealing with our feelings and emotions. A good practitioner know how to take care of a painful feeling or a painful strong emotion. We have to learn how to deal with our feeling and our emotion. We also have to learn how to bring in a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness.